All right, welcome in to another edition of Final Pitch here on the Good Neighbor News Talk, A30WCCO. Henry Lake broadcasting live from Target Field. Up here in the booth, in the press box, looking at the beautiful stadium that is emptied out, other than the folks that are out on the grounds taking care of the field after the Twins fall in extras, in 10, to be exact, to the Oakland A's, Athletics, whatever you want to call them. 4-2. 651-461-9226. That is the number. It always is, whether you want to call into the show, leaving the stadium, if you're sitting at home, if you want to text the show, text line number, phone calls, whatever you want to do with regards to chiming in, giving your thought, giving your opinion, your perspective on Twins baseball. Twins fall tonight 4-2 to the A's. So a few things that I want to start with, and I guess one of the things that I'm going to start with before we even get to Bailey Ober is there's one thing that has not been good for the Twins all season long. And it really bugged me tonight more so than most evenings. Okay, and it's been something that's been talked about, I think, a time or two throughout the season. But the base running, I just feel like, hasn't been good. The base running has been shaky at best. And I think it goes under the microscope a little bit more here on nights like tonight and for the rest of the season based on the individuals and the lack of experience in the big leagues. You've got younger guys you're going to give opportunities to right now that you're going to see what they can do, and they have to, well, in the midst of getting experience, make good decisions. And tonight I felt like there were a couple of times where you're looking and you're scratching your head and you're like, I don't understand what just happened there. Like, I get it that not everybody is going to be able to just, you know, at the drop of a hat, just be able to make that ultimately great decision to advance from one base to the next. But you have to be able to see the game and also think the game through in terms of the decision-making and giving yourself an opportunity to advance with base running. And quite frankly, I thought that James Outman was bad at that tonight. He just was. And I know that a friend of the show and a personal friend, Brandon Warren, me and him disagreed on one particular play tonight, but I just thought that Outman, a couple of times tonight, it was beyond shaky. And one time that I thought it was going to blow up in our face, it didn't, because he got bailed out. Okay, he got bailed out with a two out hit in the fifth, I believe. And that guy, Trevor Larnig, when he singled to left and it scored Outman, that was the first run of the game. And then after that, Brooks Lee doubled the center and that scored Larnig to tie the game up at two. But in that particular inning, specifically, okay, let me start with the first example that we'll talk about, at least in this instance. Outman started off the bottom of the fifth with a double, okay? He doubles. So Fitzgerald's up to bat next. He flies to left. It wasn't the easiest play, but it was a situation which Outman was, he played it 50-50, right? I guess we could say 50-50. He was right in the middle, which I believe was the wrong call. Now, people that want to do the analytics, or they want to say, well, this is how baseball is played, and you don't do this, you don't do that. There's nothing that says that he had to play that far off of second base. He played so far off of second base, he gave himself no other option other than, if the ball is caught, he has to retreat back to second. Or if miraculously the ball lands, or like he anticipates that the ball is going to fall, then what happens? He's going to go ahead, advance to third, or possibly maybe even get sent home, which I don't think he would have scored on that type of hit anyway. But the bottom line is, in that situation, he didn't even give himself a chance because of how far off second he was. And so he had to retreat and go back to second, which really bugged me. And to me, this is what happened, Chris, and I don't know how you view that play or that decision there, when that ball was caught, if he's closer to second, I thought he could have easily tagged up to second and made it to third. Maybe we'll have some disagreement with somebody on the line tonight or on the text line, but that's the way that I viewed it. Now, eventually, when it all comes out in the wash and he ends up scoring anyway because Trevor Larnach bails him out, because remember, after that flyout, Buxton struck out swinging, so now we've got two outs. Mm-hmm. Larnach and Brooks Lee ended up getting hits to tie the game at two. But on that particular play, how did you view that?
Yeah, I thought that Outman, you don't want to play conservatively, but in that situation when you're down by two and where that ball is hit, you figure with where the outfielder is at, you want to be in the position that if that ball is caught, because of where the outfielder is at and the collision with the wall and having to go down and get his bearings before he can throw the ball in, that's an opportunity to tag, even though the ball is hit to left field. And, I mean, very rarely do you want to tag on a ball to left field.
And it was a good play by the outfielder. I give him that.
Yeah, it was a really good play by Soderstrom, the converted catcher, now out in left field. It was a really nice catch. But at that situation, you've got to end up at third base, because if that ball drops and you're halfway between, you know, second and third, I mean, the odds are you're not going to score on that play anyway. You're going to end up at third. So either way, you want to make sure that you advance the 90 feet. So I thought that Outman could have played it a little safer with where he was positioned off the bag. But to me, he got too far off that bag that his mind was made up that he was either going to score or he was going to end up staying at second base, when, in my opinion, the mindset is down by two, get myself to third base, and get in a position to score.
All right, so let's get to the other one that happened even before that, in the bottom of the third. Because to me, the bottom of the third, that was another one thing that just it really, and I know it doesn't, it's not just a me thing, it bothers all Twins fans, but these opportunities that they get early in games where they end up with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom of the third, Outman had doubled, Fitzgerald single. So now you end up with runners on second and third. Okay. With nobody out.
Yeah.
No, you have to score a run. One, at least. Second and third, nobody out. On that particular play, I assume that that they were saying that they were going to send him on the runner was going to go home on contact, because Buxton grounded into the fielder's choice to third, and they throw it home, and Outman's out at home, and it wasn't even close. It happened so fast. I turned around in the press box. I'm like, why was he even running? So how did you view that specific play? Because to me, I didn't like that decision there.
No, I didn't either. And I don't know, and you know, Danny and Chris were talking about it on the call. Was that a missed sign by somebody, or was that just, you know, not understanding the situation? With the infield back at that point, I'm kind of puzzled why you would run it, because when that ball is hit to the third baseman or the pitcher, you hold up. If it's hit to the middle part of the infield, make sure it gets past the pitcher, and then you can score. The contact play, if that's what it was, I don't understand why you would run it at that situation when you've got, I mean, Buxton's leading off. You got extra base opportunities from your number 8 and number 9 hitter, setting everything up for the top of the order. That is what, ideally, that is exactly what you want from the bottom of your order. So I don't understand why they ran it at that point.
And yeah, then, me neither.
And then even at that point, Henry, you've got Fitzgerald at third. You got Buxton at first with one out. Why are you not thinking about running Byron Buxton at that point to stay out of the double play? He's 18 for 18 in stolen base attempts this year. Has not been caught. Why do you not run Byron Buxton, put a little bit of pressure on the young pitcher? That whole inning and the way that it unfolded, it was just very mind-boggling to me.
But we've had too many of those innings where you're able to put something together early and you come away with nothing, dude. Like, that just, I was like, now, we can't be, You do that all season, you don't deserve to go to the postseason.
Well,
just don't.
And I mean, this team has changed. The whole philosophy of this team has changed, because maybe they were, you know, with the way that they were constructed, they were not the most athletic. They, you know, were not the most spry. But at this point, you figure you should be able to kind of alter the way that you do things. And I will give Rocco and the coaching staff credit in the sense that they are becoming more aggressive in terms of stealing bases. I mean, we saw Luke Keyshaw steal third tonight. I like what they're doing in terms of trying to steal. But when guys are making these decisions with the ball in play, I think that's where you can look and say, you know, sometimes you have to kind of take a step back, make sure you know exactly what you're going to do so you don't get caught in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. Twins fall to the A's 4-2-10. Quickly, tonight I didn't think that it was like a bad night at the office for one Bailey Ober. Bailey Ober, I thought, was fine. He went 5 2/3. He gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs. He walked a batter, struck out 7 on 82 pitches. He wasn't the issue at all. The issue was we were not able to manufacture enough runs to give him support. And quite frankly, I just look at the way that everything shook out tonight. This is a bad loss. We'll take your phone calls, any reaction that you'd like. We'll take a break. Coming up next year, second segment of Final Pitch. All righty. Welcome back to Final Pitch News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Just so much to talk about. So much to talk about.
4-2, the A's defeat the Twins. They take the first couple of games of this series. We just haven't had good luck against the A's this year. The A's, that's where Pablo got hurt, right?
Yes, that stupid Sacramento minor league ballpark could suck it.
Oh,
I mean, it's the A's fault. I mean, if they didn't move to the concrete jungle that is that Sacramento ballpark, I mean, we would have had Pablo Lopez, and, you know, I think, you know, Bailey and Joe Ryan, like, nobody was feeling good after that series.
Hey, we talked about the base running in the opening segment. Another thing that should be mentioned is just the runners left on base. You had 12 of them tonight. 2 for 15 with runners in scoring position. You're not going to beat that many teams when that happens. This is not good. How are you going to win games when that's happening? That's not good. And I'm not going to sit here and act like the A's were much better. They were 1 for 9, and they left 8 on. But this is Final Pitch for Twins baseball, and the Twins didn't get it done tonight.
No, and to me, that is as problematic as anything with, you know, left on base, runners in scoring position, runners at second and third with nobody out. I mean, it's, you know, what do they say? Second verse, same as the first. And it's just, this has been a problem. And, you know, it's a different hitting philosophy. It's a new staff, but yet we're still having the same problems, which is a little concerning and frustrating.
Yeah, I just, oh my gosh, it was, yeah, that was frustrating, man. It was totally frustrating, but here we are. Now, I do real quickly, though, I know that Bailey Ober, I thought he performed, he was fine, but I do want to tip my cap to Justin Topa. To get out of that jam in the eighth, what did you think of that? Like, I thought that was awesome. That was amazing how he was able to get out of the jam. Because I thought to myself, I was like, there's no way he's getting out of this with giving up nothing.
I mean, when you've got a pinch hit and then, yep, you know, you got the pass ball and yep, he's at second base and you have to walk
Kurtz. He gives it the walk, yep.
Yeah, and I understand you had to get Kurtz. You had to walk him. I understand that.
Second and third with one out.
Yes, and then you get the ground ball to first and the fly ball to short right. And I tell you what, there was no way, you know, because last night we saw the sack fly on the, you know, the ball that was hit to Luke Keyshaw. Tonight, there was no way they were running on Matty Guns out there. No chance they were running on Matt Wallner. And, yeah, it was incredible. That might have been one of the highlights of the night, just to see these guys battle out. And even though, you know, Cabrera gave up the home run to Langeliers in the 10th, I thought the way that he came at Nick Hertz in the 9th, I thought was also really good. I had some really good vibes after that too. But I mean, these guys are holding it down. They're doing their part, and I mean, give them credit because the A's make it look so easy at times, and Justin Topa did his thing.
From the 3-2-0, I love this. Twins are going to suck so bad for the next few years, and they deserve it. What kind of fan are you? Like, who wants the Twins to suck? Like, who is embracing wanting to be bad? Who does that? Like, legitimately. Texter, what are you thinking? Like, are you somebody that, like, when you type that up, you're like, yeah, the Twins are going to suck. This is going to make my evening. I'm a badass. Huh?
Well, you just read it, so, I mean.
I read it, but I'm just like, but it's not one of those things where, like, it's not like I look at that text and I'm like, oh, man, that's a brilliant text. That texter's a genius. Like, oh, my gosh, they feel great. Like, no one feels good about their hometown team struggling from one year to the next.
No.
Like, who does that?
I think one thing, and the kind
maybe it's the anti-Polad angle, but, like, I've never thought that the thought process would be that I am going to enjoy a team that I watch on a nightly mm-hmm. basis or I'm a fan of be bad. That's just a weird thing to me.
I look at it and I just kind of shrug my shoulders and it, you know, maybe it's the anti-Polad bias. You know, maybe it's, I don't believe that that's a genuine message. I believe there's,
I'm saying they texted.
People don't really mean some of the stuff they text. I mean, we know that. I will say this though, Henry. I think when we're looking at the next few years in just the landscape of baseball, we know that the Twins burned it down at the trade deadline, and they're proud of the second best farm system based on.
After the Dodgers, according to Major League Baseball pipeline.
Why'd you have to throw in the damn Dodgers? I don't, you know, the Dodgers have enough money.
I got no issue with the Dodgers.
I really have no problem with the Dodgers either. But I think after this CBA, after the 2026 season, Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, is advocating hard for revenue sharing and a salary cap. That is going to be a significant war between the players union and the owners. So I think that is something that when that settles, if indeed the revenue sharing and the salary cap is enacted, I think number one, you got to have a salary floor too. I think number, you know, with that, but then I think that changes the landscape in terms of kind of closing the gap and allowing more money for some of these quote unquote revenue strapped teams. So I think you build up your farm system, hoping that revenue sharing eventually takes place after a labor stoppage. And then that's when hopefully you have a front office that is willing to go out and make those moves.
All right. Look, when we talk about who cooked tonight, you know, Trevor Larnach had a couple of hits. I know that Luke Kieschel had a couple of hits. James Altman had a couple of hits. But there's somebody else that we looked at in terms of who cooked tonight.
Who fired up the bats? Who served up gas on the mound?
Strike three, you're out.
Let's dish it out piping hot as we talk about who cooked tonight. Presented by Chef IQ Sense on News Talk 830 WCCO.
All right, the individual that who cooked tonight was Brooks Lee. Brooks Lee tonight was 3-for-4 with a run batted in. One of those hits that he had this evening was a double that drove in a run. Let's go, Brooks.
Three balls and two strikes on the way. Fly ball into the right center field, long run. Butler won't get it. Larnach around second, heading to third. Tommy Watkins is sending him around, and he's going to score. And the Twins have tied it up 2-2.
Brooks Lee, he cooked tonight. That's who cooked tonight, presented by Chef IQ Sense. Never under or overcook your chicken, fish, or meat again with Chef IQ Sense. Buy yours now at chefiq.com. He's been looking good at the plate here lately, one Brooks Lee. Let's take a quick phone call here before we wrap up segment number two. Let's take a phone call from Lonnie in Inver Grove Heights. What's up, Lonnie?
Hey, Henry. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're hanging out, man. Just hanging out at the ballpark.
You been at B-52s lately?
I have. I've never been there, actually, I don't think.
I had a drink with you one time, but who knows?
I remember me and Lavelle were somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you know, maybe it was Lavelle up there, actually.
I
think Lavelle goes up there, actually.
Lavelle is there all the time. I'm supposed to go up there and hang out with him and his buddy that owns the place. But, no, I think technically I've never been there yet. So, but, anyway, I'll be there eventually.
It's a nice little spot, man, for games.
Nice.
You know what? I just turned 50 years old this past weekend.
Happy birthday, man. Happy belated.
Thanks, man. Big 5-0, you know.
Welcome to the club.
I have a beautiful wife, 15 years younger than me, and I'm a wonderful 5-8-year-old.
Oh, now you're just rubbing it in.
5-8-year-old sons, and but you know, man, I'm listening. I was 87, 91. I was here
me
for
too.
The Twins championships. You were
me
here too.
Too. I was here in 87, 91. I was on the campus of Morehouse College in my dorm, waving my Homer hanky.
We've got to get back to that, you know. My brother-in-law and I it was my dad's birthday yesterday. We sat on the couch last night and we were just talking about how things are heating up in 2023 in that playoff series.
Man, we're going to get back to that. I'm a believer. I'm a believer, Lonnie. Lonnie, listen, the next time that we get back to getting into a World Series, if it's an away game, me, you, Lavelle, friends will be bellied up at the bar at B-52 hanging out.
That's all I want. Honestly, man, that's all I want. Why can't this town win? That's all I want, man. I love the farm system of the Twins, man. Keyshawn and these guys, they got to do exactly what Oakland did with Kurtz and all those guys, Jacob Wilson and those guys, and I think we'll be fine. And you know what? That texter that texted in, that's that aura in the city, man. That's the aura that is just ridiculous. People got to get on the bandwagon. We got to move some emotion here. We got to go.
All right, man. Thanks for the phone call from Lonnie in Inver Grove Heights. He just wants to wave a Homer hanky and win. That's all he wants to do, Chris. I'm with him, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to go to B-52 with you guys, but I wasn't mentioned, but that's okay.
Nah, you bring me down. You're not a good wingman. You're not good. No, not at all.
You would
immediately start with the corny dad jokes, and it'd just be the total buzzkill.
Hey, man,
from a 10.
Hey,
I'll be talking to a 10, and then you'll come with some dorky, you know, corny dad joke, and it'll be a total buzzkill. Lavelle's a good wingman. Lavelle's a good wingman. Me and Lavelle we've hung out a time or two.
Yeah,
Lavelle's great. I would say in all of my years in life as a grown ass man, as an adult, I would say that Lavelle Neal III, the columnist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, he would probably be in my top five wingmans.
Wow, is he the number one wingman in terms of Twin Cities media for you?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay,
that's Mark Rosen.
Yeah, I was going to say, something about that said Rosie. Something about that just said, you know, yeah, Rosie's got to be the guy. That's fair.
Oh, 651-461-9226. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the highlights and post-game reaction. Twins fall to the A's. 4-2. All right, final segment of Final Pitch. News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins fall to the A's 4-2. Hey, real quickly, shout out to Lonnie in Inver Grove Heights for calling into the show. But there's two things there about that phone call, though, Chris, that I must point out. One of two things happened. Either he was insinuating that he might have met me one time at B-52s in Inver Grove Heights with Lavelle Neal III and had a drink, which I don't believe happened, or he's confusing me with Lavelle Neal III. And Lonnie, come on, man. All brothers don't look alike. Come on, Lonnie. Come on, brother. I had to go there. Shout out to Lonnie, man. I love you, bro.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you went there. Oh, my dear goodness.
Hey. Hey, we got to laugh about some stuff, man. It's been a rough year, man.
How is Lavelle going to feel for being your body double?
He'll get over it. It's a compliment. Lavelle knows. Oh, you look like Henry Lay. Oh, thank you, baby.
Yeah, I can see you going up like, hey, thank you, baby. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, let's get to the highlights, man, and get out of here. All right. Arnaz had a sack fly for the Oakland A's in the top of the second. They gave the A's a 1-0 lead.
Pitch on the way. Swung on it. Lifted in the air to left center field. Buxton has to get his jets on in front of the wall. He leaps up and he makes the catch right at the base of the barricade. Plenty deep enough to score Soderstrom. And it's a 1-0 Athletics lead as Byron, fighting the sun and fighting the wall, makes a wonderful catch up against the fence for out number two, and the A's take the lead.
All right, in the top of the fourth, Tyler Soderstrom, he got a hold of one, and it was gone. Byron Buxton, don't even think about, you know, trying to go leap and do anything. No, 2-0 A's.
There's a fly ball center field, hit fairly well. Buck tracking, Buck will look around. That's way out of here. Soderstrom, home run, and now it's 2-0 Athletics.
He said, Buckle, look around. Buckle, look around. It was gone. Oh, bottom of the fifth, though. Trevor Larnick getting the Twins on the board with an RBI single. A's at that point led 2-1.
And a pitch. A little flare into left field. That's going to land for a base hit. Outman around third. He'll score. Throw into the plate, and bad race running by Larnick. Should be at second base. That left fielder threw it all the way to the plate. There was no cutoff man anywhere. Kurtz was still at first base. But the Twins get on the board, 2-1.
And then we played earlier the highlight with Brooks Lee, who cooked tonight. He tied it up at 2 apiece. But in the top of the 10th, Langeliers, who's just all he does is hit home runs at Target Field, it seems like. He hit a 2-run bomb. A's lead 4-2, which will be the final score.
1-2 pitch. Swung on and hit in the air to right field deep. Outman going back. Outman looking up. That ball is gone. It's not coming back. And Langeliers has hit another home run, and it's 4-2 A's.
Man, hold on real quick. I got my phone here. Let me text Lavelle and tell him. Caller Lonnie from Invergrove Heights says that we look alike. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Out of all the text messages that I've ever sent anybody, I've never punctuated it with, you know what, somebody thinks you look like me, you're welcome.
Yeah, congratulations.
Highlight of his day, apparently.
Now that you know, do something with that.
You're damn.
You're single like me. No, I'm just joking. All right, anyway. All right, let's hear from Bailey Ober post-game. He felt good despite having some back discomfort.
Battled through some stuff tonight. Obviously, wasn't feeling most explosive out there. But I felt like my release point was locked in, even though I wasn't feeling great. So I was able to just manipulate the ball and move it and kind of put it where I wanted to today. So, 3 hits, 2 to the same guy. I didn't do quite a great of a job to that guy, Soderstrom. But overall, I felt like I was able to mix and be able to go to a sweeper and to a changeup back-to-back and without kind of feeling off with those pitches. It just felt normal.
One thing I didn't mention, did you see the play in the outfield with Fitzgerald, the slip?
You mean Outman?
Oh, I mean Outman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With where he just went over and it looked like, I don't know if his cleats got caught or he just misjudged where he was at.
Let me say this. This is not to pile on. I felt bad for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because it was one of those situations where, like, it was quiet in here. And you could see when I looked at the replay, the look on his face, he was down. He legitimately was down. I felt bad for him in that moment because he's trying to make a play, and then that happens. But, it was very unfortunate.
Yeah, let me say this about James Outman. I really I'm excited that the Twins got him in the Brock Stewart deal because his rookie year with the Dodgers showed that he's got something there. And you're going to have a hard time cracking that roster. So I'm not going to let that overshadow. I mean, I think James Outman is a really, really good outfielder. And
I think it's too early to say that.
Well, I think that, you know, I'm curious to see what he can do in the next 35-ish games.
I think we all are. I agree. I think that we all are. All right, let's actually slide down. I want to hear from Royce because Royce has been struggling. And this is Royce talking about the team struggling with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, obviously tough. I mean, that's how you lose games. I mean, that's, you know, you win games by getting those guys in. And so, obviously, we'd love to get those guys in soon, and we'll start doing that. You know, it's part of the game, and there's ebbs and flows of baseball where it just goes ups and downs. And at the moment, we're in a little bit of a rut, but we'll get back out of it.
And then finally, Rocco, just talking about aggressive base running.
Yeah, there's some intention there. We want to run the bases more aggressively. You're not gonna begin that process. Unless you just simply do it one day. You just wake up and do it. So it's something that we've talked to our position players about. We always go on contact a lot, so it's that, you know, you're never going to be surprised by that. But as a group, we want to go first to third as many times as we can. We want to we're going to have more guys with the green light going forward, and we're going to be making a lot of decisions out there on the field using our vision and our awareness. So, yeah, I mean, it is part of our objective, and along with some of the extra bases we get, there could be some outs as well, but I'd rather play aggressive than passively.
All right, the Twins are back at it tomorrow, 12:05. Jose Urena is on the mound for the Minnesota Twins. And last but not least, I know that earlier we said that Brooks Lee, he cooked tonight. I want to add one last thing into that, who cooked tonight. I got to say that Lonnie in Invergrove Heights, he cooked tonight because he cooked both me and Lavelli, Neil III. He cooked us both. That's going to wrap up Final Pitch. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night on The Lake Show.